Thank you, Spencer.
That gets me pumped no matter what mood I'm in.
Leading us in. Hey, it's Thursday, the official beginning of the weekend in Austin, Texas.
And in San Marcos, where we would often travel to Austin.
Really, any college town, this is the beginning. Yeah,
first lesson, don't ever take classes before 11 a.m. And second lesson, don't ever take Friday classes. That's simple.
Third lesson, drop out now, man. Be like cooler.
It don't matter. I mean, you know, that actually is a good advice. Don't saddle yourself in student debt. Go to a trade school.
Yeah. We're at least 50% of students these days. Do yourself a favor. Learn how to weld.
Yeah. It's all a goddamn scam.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the end of the show. Hope everybody got that advice. Feels good. We'll see you.
Yeah, college advice. You don't want to end up too lonely radio hacks.
Hey, one lonely radio hack. I feel good.
Okay. Fair enough.
You're starting to show off negative. Want me to take you outside?
I'm being honest.
Oh, you said
it's okay.
You're having a week.
I'm having a week.
You are having a week.
It's all right, though.
You want to talk about it on air?
Yeah. No.
You don't?
No, dude.
Why not?
I don't want to.
Whoa, I wish people could have seen your face just now.
Dude, it's been a week. You went from smiles
and kind of funny to it ain't funny and I ain't talking about it.
Yeah.
Which means I'm going to pester you every break about it.
I know. That's okay. It'll be the theme. Hey, big reveal coming up in 5 o'clock.
Dude, you got to have some truth in radio. It's the only reason people tune in anymore, man.
I know.
They don't really, you know what I mean? What are you going to do? Like, oh, here comes Foster the People. No, they want to hear about what's going on with you, man.
They want to know about my life.
That's right.
My woes.
Fun show for you today. Of course, we have another win something, and we have interviews later on with some folks. You and I are going to be judges this weekend for the, I think it's the 7th annual dog beard and mustache competition.
Uh-huh.
I know that sounds weird, people, but there are dogs that have facial hair, essentially. And there's this competition at the Little Darling in South Austin, and we'll be judges there. You and I have been kind of involved with this group in town that does a lot of facial hair events.
For a long time.
Austin Facial Hair Club. They do a lot of charity events. That's why I like them. And I guess that was on my mind, so I tweeted out earlier this week, what's the ugliest dog breed? Part of it was, I was looking at all these pictures of people have their dogs, what they think are cute.
Your dog's not cute.
Prince Charlemagne's and Shih Tzu's. And,
I mean,
these like droopy. So I tweeted out. Go ahead.
I'm going to say I easily have one of the ugliest dogs, Mr. President, whatever breed that homunculi is.
That's not a breed, dude.
But he's so ugly that he's cute. He's kind of like a young Christopher Walken to where it's like, ugh, but oh.
That's how I feel about myself.
Yeah.
Most people did not really want to respond. I think a lot of people just think that their dog is adorable no matter what.
Yeah.
Because it's like people with their babies. You see pictures all the time of people with their newborns, and you're like,
that baby's
an embarrassment to your
family.
That baby
better be funny.
You can't say that to somebody, but you're like, that kid's got talent.
Yeah.
Hope that kid can... I don't know, run with a ball or
play
a
guitar
or something, because that kid is ugly. But anyway, I only got one good answer to what is the ugliest dog breed. And someone wrote, the bounty hunter.
Love it.
Which is really, really, really good.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Dane history.
Cancel it. Today is not the greatest day in history. I know this segment is all about today's the greatest, but today is not, Matt.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know if you know this.
I don't get it. I thought this bit was supposed to be about you finding great things that had happened in history or that there was like a national hot dog day or something. Did you go and find something negative?
I did. I found something negative. I don't know if you know this about me, but during much of my 7 years of university studies.
Boy, wow. And what do you do with your PhD now?
Make fart jokes on the radio.
No, you did 7 years in school and you got a business degree?
History. And much of what I studied was Napoleonic Wars. So I want to take you down the road of a little story here. The fall of 1805 was a big year for Napoleon. In October, the Ulm campaign wrapped with the French decisively defeating the Austrians, and later at the Battle of Austerlitz, also known as the Battle of the Three Emperors, Napoleon knocked the Russians and Austrians out of the war in one of his greatest victories ever. However, today in 1805 also marks the biggest defeat for the French at the Battle of Trafalgar. Under Lord Horatio Nelson, the British destroyed much of the French fleet and made sure they would never be able to invade Great Britain. Lord Nelson was mortally wounded by a French sniper during the battle and died shortly thereafter. So as a fan of Napoleon, today is not one of the greatest days.
Why not?
It marks the Battle of Trafalgar.
What was that?
It was the French naval defeat to the British.
Oh, were you asleep? When did that happen?
Were you asleep during that?
Oh, yeah, I kind of zoned out on that a little bit.
Happened,
that sounded like school to me.
That happened today back in 1805.
Yeah, well, how does that matter to me? Like personally, like, how do you personalize this story? What is it to me?
If you're at a party and people are like, you know that Napoleon guy, and you could be like, well, actually, did you know this?
So did you just go to university to learn how to be kind of a dick at parties?
No. That's not being a jerk. It's just it's talking about fun facts.
Well, what
exciting
is...
exciting things.
Just out of curiosity, what's today's National Day?
Today is National Reptile Day. So to all the lizard people secretly controlling things, much like the British Parliament and monarchy, we're celebrating the lizard people.
Yeah, that sounds like... I don't know. That sounds like a cooler day than Napoleon.
No, see, it ties together because had Napoleon outright won, we never would have had World War I, and we probably never would have had World War II.
So,
had the French Empire been able to maintain its control over all of Europe?
Napoleon is a guy who really, it looked like he might rule the world at one point. Right?
Yes.
And so he had everything going his way, but it turned out, despite all of his greatness, he turned out to be quite the loser. Right? He was a loser in the end?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Was he defeated?
Yes.
Did he spend his life alone on an island?
Yes.
So is that why you ended
up... Well, he came back once.
You don't get that I'm trying to head somewhere, do you?
Okay, go on.
No, it's too late. I'm just trying to point out that you spent all this time studying somebody who was so similar to yourself.
Who turned out to be the biggest loser. Another fun party fact, Napoleon was not short. He was actually about 2 inches taller than the average Frenchman of his day.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
I don't want to be ageist, but is 50 years old too old to be a DJ? Not a radio DJ, because we know that obviously...
An industry with old white men running it forever. Yes.
But I'm talking about a DJ. You go to a party and everybody's raging. The lights are flashing. Do you need it? Does age even matter when you're a DJ up there on
It's awkward.
Beep, 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 beep.
It's uncomfortable. I don't know if you've ever been to a nightclub at a beach resort, but you'll see a lot of those older DJs. In college, we had a contract with the guy that played all our parties. He had... all the good music, all the good lights, but he looked like Rick Moranis.
Right.
And dressed like it as well. And there was just something awkward about hosting events and having to use this DJ who looks like a sweater to Rick Moranis while it's like, skeet, skeet, goddamn. It was weird.
What you're saying is you might see it sometimes at a place like a college party, but would you expect to see it at the closing festivities of F1?
No, you mean the an international event and party here in Austin, Texas has
the
old DJ?
Biggest event that comes here every year. I know for a lot of people, because we simply can't afford it, maybe South By or ACL might be the biggest event. But technically speaking, F1 is the biggest event that comes to the city every single year.
F1 is huge. I mean,
it's here this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's here right now. In fact, all the early stuff has already begun. And you can probably look out on the freeway on your drive home today, and you'll be next to a
McLaren F1.
Insane cars will be here because folks bring their cars down to these events.
Yeah.
Very wealthy people. And at 4:30 on the closing day, just after the race, DJ Diesel will be performing. He happens to be, he's just shy of 50 years old. He's 49 years old. And he'll be performing.
Is he from the Jersey Shore cast?
He's not from the Jersey. Now, he
familiar.
Is actually fairly well known.
Okay.
Are you not familiar with DJ Diesel's work?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
DJ Diesel actually had a hip-hop album out in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, under the moniker MC Diesel.
Okay.
Still not ringing a bell.
Not at all.
Still not ringing a bell.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Not even close.
LA Lakers, LSU Tigers, any of that ringing a bell?
Yeah.
Okay. He used to play for those teams.
Are you talking about Shaq?
Shaquille O'Neal.
You're talking about Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal.
No, dude. You have flipped it around for me.
I did.
Because the entire time I was thinking again of that college DJ we had that looked like Rick Moranis. But no, dude, Shaq rules. Shaq and party.
I'm pretty excited.
Dude, that is awesome.
Shaquille O'Neal always puts me in a good mood. Even when people used to kind of roll their eyes at him or whatever, I've always thought he's fun. He's funny. He got the entertainment side of NBA. He certainly could not hit a free throw, but everything else he could do fantastically.
He had a great video game, Shaq Fu.
Sure, and at a certain point, I think he leaned into the idea of like knowing that he wasn't going to hit free throws, and it just made it even more fun,
yeah.
You know? And he's a guy who, in his post-NBA career, I've thoroughly enjoyed. I like him as a commentator.
Mm-hmm.
I like him when he does commercials. I love, are you familiar with a comedian, who there's a comedian in town that's incredible impersonations.
Okay, man. What's the name of that comedian?
First name is Mac.
Mac Blake.
That's the one.
Cool.
Mac Blake does a whole like kind of ode to
Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal, which is really fantastic.
And I mean, it says a lot that I'm such a big fan of Shaq because his Miami Heat sunk my Dallas Mavericks in 2006, and they tried to hack a Shaq.
Right.
And guess what?
Didn't work.
No, he was hitting those free throws, man.
So one of the fun things is I was just reading through a list of performers because I thought, well, is there anybody we want to cover? And I noticed that a DJ Diesel was playing all in caps, and I was like, I am not completely on top of all of the DJs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't go to Ibiza every summer.
Ibiza at a dance party.
Right.
EDM.
But I feel like the DJs who would be on an international stage, I would know their names, right?
Paul Oakenfold.
Sure.
Yeah.
Marshmello.
Yeah.
I just like certain things I do know. And I was like, I've never heard of DJ Diesel. In my mind, I was like, oh, some 20-year-old kid managed to snag this and it's going to change that person's life. And then I looked down and I go, wait a minute, DJ Diesel, and I noticed that it was Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, dude, you have brightened my day.
I would love, I think it's a special kind of after party, and I think you have to have a special ticket to get in, but
yeah.
I would love to watch.
Hey, everybody, this next one coming up here is going to be a pretty good song. I hope you guys enjoy it. It's Bridges, but hope you enjoy it. It's pretty fun.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Matt, you ever feel too fat to have sex?
Boy. Yes.
Same here. And good thing sex therapists say there is a cure for it, but I don't know if I'm believing it. Sexual desire or interest in having sex is lower than it's been during any point because of the pandemic, according to a new study led by researchers at Texas State University and Indiana University. They're saying that the pandemic, the buzzkill, the fear, the worry, the loneliness, the eating, the drinking, and just feeling chubby and schlubby has absolutely killed sexual desire.
Oh, it's not a feeling for me. It's more like physical. I've got too much butter on my hands to get my pants off.
Too much just snacking and doughing.
Yeah.
The cure that the sexual therapist in this article talked about is very simple, but it's something that I feel like I get slapped away every time.
Please do not tell me it's eat less and exercise, because
F you! Yeah, that's the solution to everything.
Suck it.
No, the therapist says it's very simple that you just have to start touching. Work on touching each other more.
Really? Well, wait, huh?
Yeah. But you know what happens every time I feel like I get touchy?
What is that?
A hand gets slapped away.
Oh.
If I'm trying to hold a hand, trying to rub a back, trying to caress a neck.
Do you know this person? that could be part of the problem.
It's one of our coworkers.
Yeah, well, that's an issue, yeah.
Well, they say if you're feeling unattractive, unloved, too chubby, that simple touch communication can lead to triggering or lead to more positive things that will trigger feeling loved and
okay,
the need to have sex.
Help me out.
The want to.
Okay. I'm somebody who's feeling like I'm not in my best shape, okay? Yeah. So it's saying that if I just go and touch other people, I'll feel better about myself, or if somebody's touching me, I'll feel better about myself.
Your partner. You don't go touch randos.
If I touch my partner, I'll feel better about myself, or do I need my partner to touch me to feel better about myself?
You both touch each other. And that will lead you to feel better about yourself and then lead to sex.
See, this is somebody who doesn't understand, I don't think, how a lot of people operate.
Yeah.
If you don't feel good about yourself, a lot of times you don't want your partner to touch it.
You don't want to be touched. Yeah. Yeah. It's also like both of you would have to be on the same page. That's what I was kind of saying earlier. Like if I'm trying to initiate and start with the gentle touch and stuff like that, I get pushed away if the person's not in the mood. And same as you just said, if I'm feeling gross, fat, and depressed, I don't want no one touching me.
Who did this study? Dr. Pepper? This doesn't even make sense. It's just like, well, you just need to be more attractive and you'll feel more attractive. It's like, it doesn't make sense.
Matt, I figured it out. Again, I'm going to read you the university where this initiated from, my alma mater, Texas State University. So I think we just answered the question.
Well, Texas State University, that doesn't even make sense. Everybody at Texas State is kind of hot and doing it all the time.
It's hard not to get laid in San Marcos. Yeah, I mean, they have a penicillin factory down there, for the love of God.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
It's time for the Green Report, and today, turning your brown green.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you know where I'm headed.
I hope so.
Turns out every time you flush a toilet, 1 to 6 gallons of water, depending on your toilet, it goes right
down
there.
You waste a lot, yeah. That's why there's the saying, if it's yellow, let it mellow.
If it's brown, though, you're still supposed to flush it down. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Wastewater, purifying that wastewater, 3% of all U.S. energy goes toward cleaning our Duke.
Ew.
Yeah, just purifying our Duke water. Despite the fact that we put 3% of all of our U.S. energy into that, 80% of wastewater still finds its way back into streams and into the environment.
Still poisoning stuff.
Right.
It's bad.
So we're only cleaning up really 20% despite using all that energy.
Yeah.
That said, this young lady in Norway or something has created something.
They love their poop up there.
She's created a poop cleaning machine.
Okay.
Ta-ta!
Hey!
I read up on it. It's a giant copper still. It looks like she's making whiskey in the mountains of Tennessee. And you duke. Well, you don't duke directly into it. You duke somewhere else. You put it in this machine. You move it around a couple times. It's got this corkscrew thing in the end. And then basically you put... Well, you put the stuff that makes mushrooms, and then mushrooms grow in your duke.
Fungi eats it.
And it turns it into hummus, not to be confused with hummus, which is a delicious Middle Eastern treat.
Yes, you're talking about dirt.
Dirt, but
that's good for
specifically
plants.
That really rich black dirt, right?
The good stuff for gardening.
Right. She's super excited. She's come up with this invention. It's been during COVID, so she hasn't been able to test it since it's during COVID, the overarching government agency in Sweden or wherever she is says, you're not allowed to use human poop right now in your tests because it could have COVID in it.
Yeah.
But she's been using her own Duke. She also said, look, here's
the
thing.
Quite the mad scientist.
Yes. She also has proven that most of the smells and stuff that come from Duke, it actually gets worse with water. So if you don't have any water in the system, you get
if you just let it decompose, okay.
A little less.
Okay.
Little less on the old nose there, if you will. So here's the deal. She's like, look, I think I've come up with this invention. And
it can change the way the world works.
Yes, except, no.
What?
No.
What? It's all a scam?
No, it works just fine.
Okay.
But CJ, do you really think we're all going to have copper stills? It's one thing if you have a piece of property and you live out in Alaska somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
You got your outhouse.
But
the back of the land.
If you live in an apartment complex here in the city, what are they going to have? They're going to have one, you know, like that. Well, we have this. We have three pools in our apartment complex. Also, we have 900 poop stills. I don't see it happening. Half of the HOAs in this city, if you leave your garbage can on the curb for 5 minutes after the
garbage... You get a ticket.
Someone's coming by and complaining.
So if your copper tank's hanging out in the middle of the street and you ain't put your mushrooms in it yet...
I think it's one thing if someone tries to have backyard chickens in the city, but if you're like...
Or community garden and...
If people are like, hey, what's that, Carl? Oh, funny you should mention. That's my hot Carl machine. What we do is the family... Me, my wife, and our three kids, plus a dog.
We each got our buckets.
We like to slop our own waste into there. Henry, you got to come over and check. Smell this. Ain't that it? Like, ooh.
That's some good loam making right there.
Yeah. So there's a part of me that thinks that this woman is absolutely wasting her time. I do not see a future where human beings are lugging their own duke
around
through the house. Yeah. And into the backyard. Yeah. I just don't see it happening.
But it could save the world. Oh, dear.
I'd rather us all just die in a fiery mess.
101X, Matt and CJ.
We got invited to do something really cool. I've done it for several years. This is your first time judging the doggy facial hair competition, right,
That's
Matt?
Right. Very first time. Now, I've done a lot of events with the different facial hair groups, predominantly in town, the Austin Facial Hair. Wow. Why do I want to call it a group?
Club.
Thank you.
There we go.
It just got stuck on the word group. Austin Facial Hair Club. And so I've been to a couple of the doggy facial hair competitions. I've watched you judge before. And we're going to be judging. And then actually we have two reps in with us.
Yeah, two of our friends.
Paul and Diane. Hey, what's up? It's good to see you guys again.
Welcome.
Hello.
We haven't seen any of your smiling faces for almost like 2 years now.
Nice in Chicago.
As we've lived in the weird other world.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's better now, hopefully.
the event happening Saturday.
Yes.
And wait, it's a new location?
No, it's the same location that we were in 2 years ago.
Okay.
It's at the Little Darlin.
Little Darlin down south, yeah.
And
good place.
Yeah, Little Darlin's going to be just off of William Cannon and just shy of South Congress.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
It's in between those.
And there's lots of nice space out there.
Yes.
Very dog friendly.
This event, are people coming and just watching a parade of dogs? Can they bring their dog? What exactly is happening?
Yeah, they can bring their dog. Well, ideally, you want to come and compete with the competition.
Yeah,
that's like the Austin Facial Hair Club is known for their human dog beard, or not. The human beard and mustache competitions. This is the great idea of doing it for dogs, and this is our 7th year doing it. And people come and they show off their dog's coiffure.
Yeah.
And also, if their dogs, like a lot of dogs, don't have beards, we have
slap
a craft
on a
table.
Costume. Right.
They make beards. We've had craft beardos win the best in show before. And so any dog can come and do it. And we've had dogs, you can do like the owner lookalike, where there's doesn't matter if you have a beard
or not.
Yeah,
it could be you. Yeah, you and your dog could just put on a costume and get up there. Yeah, don't overthink it.
Overthink it. A lot of people show up just to watch with their dogs, and then they end up
competing because it's so much fun.
And of course, I know in the past,
if you think, oh, there's no way I can win, look at that dog, it's so great. I mean, we had that dog that looks like Sammy Hagar. You can bribe the judges still, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that was always my favorite.
And the MC, I have no say in anything, but I got bribes last year. They're good ones too. So I was like, yep, you can. In fact, I tried to pick out winners, and the judges just mocked me.
We'll do that.
Mocking is fun. Yeah. It's a good old school
there's a lot of
feel. And
dog event, mocking too.
It's daytime too, so it's fun. You can come down there in the middle of the afternoon.
Good for the whole family.
You can bring kids out to a Little Darlin. And it's a fun thing to do, especially a lot of us. So our kids have been cooped up for 2 years. You're constantly looking for something to do. It's fun to do. I would recommend to people, if you haven't had your kids around dogs, you might want to have a little talk with them beforehand about, hey, there's going to be tons of dogs out there, and generally you want to ask an owner first, hey, can I pet your dog?
Yes.
Just to avoid any kind of issues. But it's fun to go. And I think the very first, or maybe it was the second year, I was stunned at how many dogs have real ass mustaches.
Yes.
Yes.
And because I just never even considered it. But the one of the dogs that won had a big ass, giant, curly, huge mustache on this thing.
It's not just schnauzers either. Like it was surprising how many dogs did that. But again, one of my favorites is still the owner dog lookalike contest because that always gets some laughs and entertainment. And then you realize like, oh, the person does look like their damn dog. Like, it's so weird.
So people come out if they haven't been out to the Little Darling before. It is it's a bar and there's a little bit of food there
food,
and you
beverages.
Can have some bevvies in the afternoon. It's going to be great weather. If I show up, do I pay to get in?
No, there is no payment to get in. You have, if you want to register your dog to compete, it's $5, and you can register your dog for multiple or all categories or just one. There'll be a registration table set up. There is no, there's no suggestion or anything when you get there. However, there will be jars set around.
Because it is for a good cause.
It's for Bully Ranch Pit Bull Rescue, which my lovely wife Diane and I are the founders of. And so there'll be jars. There'll be tons of merch. There'll be a lot of vendors. We'll have merch there that you can buy. There'll be a lot of buckets or jars set up all over the place for people to donate money in. And there's a lot of good drink sponsors out there. So hopefully people will get, you know, a little tipsy, throw money.
Feeling good.
And we'll kind of get into that too, about why it's so important, because you guys are doing a good thing. You're helping to take care of some dogs out there. And whether you put two and two together or not, it's been a weird couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been the best time in life to raise funds. And if you guys don't mind, stick around because I want to talk to you a little bit about Bully Ranch and the good work that you guys do. So hang tight, everybody, and we'll talk a little more with Paul and Diane.
About doggies!
Matt and CJ, 101X.
It's all new, just Matt and CJ hanging with our friends Paul and Diane from Bully Ranch. They are two of the helpful people. They've invited us to judge this weekend at the 7th annual. Is it 7th annual?
I can't believe it's been 7 years.
Dog beard and mustache competition, which is just as ridiculous as it sounds, but it is
it's so much fun.
I love things, Spamorama, this kind of events, the things that really still kind of harken back to
old
fun, cosmic cowboy, goofy, ridiculous, you take yourself too seriously, Austin. So I'm excited to go out there and judge. Now, all the proceeds from the weekend are going to help support Bully Ranch. It's an organization you guys started a while back, been working your butts off, your tails off, I should say, since we're doing dog stuff. For somebody who's uninitiated, what is Bully Ranch?
Well,
you're on the radio. It's okay to talk.
I talk a lot, so I was trying to give Diane a chance to shine, but I'll let my light go. We're a pit bull rescue. We one of the reasons we moved to Texas, we lived in Hawaii, and Diane wanted to start an animal sanctuary, and I wanted to start a pit bull rescue. And it's one of the things that brought us to Texas back in 2013, brought us to Austin. And then in 2017, December, our boy, Doggy Trejo, who was a fighting dog, was used in a fighting ring as a bait dog, and we had rescued him. And within 9 months, he had become a canine good citizen, was a therapy dog with Lovables therapy dogs.
Even got to meet Danny Trejo at the radio station.
That's right. Yeah. CJ set that up. That was all. And Danny loved him. I don't think he cared too much for us, though.
No,
he loved the dog.
He was like, you named your dog, your pit bull after us? And we were like, yeah. And they just went over and started kissing him. It was so great.
It was great.
And he died suddenly. And, you know, it just kind of brought, you know, what tragedy and grieving and things like that do is bring me very present. And thought, you know, we keep talking about we're gonna launch this pit bull rescue someday, and someday doesn't exist. So that was the impetus or the catalyst for us to say now we're going to do it. And it was mainly just thinking about dogs like him, who was used for a bait dog. And just when I first met him, scarred, was kind of oozing pus and stuff still. And this kid, and it was like he was born to be a therapy dog. Like that's what his life was. And he had to go through all this crap from humans to get to the point of where he could just love people like I'd never seen. Like he just made people seem like they're the only person in the world to everybody. And it was amazing to watch and to be able to be that that what's the word, to bounce back that quickly.
A phoenix.
Yeah, a phoenix.
Rising from the ashes.
And to become this just love bomb, and then to think how many other dogs are out there.
That need that.
That are just like that. They're getting put down just because of their breed, just because they're pit bulls and people are afraid of them. And this dog was such a... Just the sweetest dog.
And so that's where y'all have stepped in and are working to change that.
Right.
Yes.
We've been working with rescues that for about 15 years.
Yeah, you guys help a lot in placing fosters.
Yeah. Yes. And so then we just launched our own.
Yeah, and then the goal eventually is to get a ranch, a big piece of property out there where a lot of these, because some of these animals have been neglected, abused, and frankly just flat out mistreated, and so sometimes they're hard to kind of mainstream back into a household. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's not specific to this breed. I want to make be very clear about that, and especially I should also just clear that pit bull generally is kind of just a cover for a lot of different breeds at this point. At this point, especially even in this city, it pretty much any dog with a big head, I think, is getting a pit bull. I have one, and she's an absolute sweetheart, but also came from a similar background. Mm-hmm. And so she is fantastic with anybody in the house, people, what have you, but can't be around other dogs and can't be around other animals. Other than that, because she was kind of taught that other animals are something to be attacked immediately. And so that's our promise to her, is that we just won't get around other animals.
Excellent.
And in the meantime, she trades us out by being an excellent watchdog and really, really incredible with the family.
Sweetheart. There's so many dogs out there like that right. just need that person or that chance or that that thing to happen, but it's for a small rescue like you two, it takes money.
Yeah,
and it's hard to get that. It takes, you need money, you need fosters, you need patience, and I mean, that's why that's why we've done the doggy facial hair contest, because if you got a little bit of change to throw, why not do it to a great cause, which would be Bully Ranch. And I kind of wanted to, I think
100% are on board with you.
Okay, good. Yes, yes. I just wanted to talk to, like, what are some difficulties you're kind of experiencing right now that the people listening could help with?
Fostering is definitely a huge thing. Over the pandemic, lots of people took dogs in, which was great. A lot of the larger rescues and shelters stopped accepting dogs because they were just maxed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then people took them home, wonderful, and kept them, which is also wonderful, but it tapped out a lot of our foster market. So if anybody's looking to be a foster, that's a great opportunity. You get support from the rescue, you get support from us in far as dog behavior. If you need help figuring out how to walk a dog that maybe has never been on a leash before, food, money, how to keep them safe, that sort of thing. You get all that support if you're
wonderful.
A foster.
That's great. And if I have a foster, it's who are the kind of people that usually make great fosters?
Really, anyone can be a good foster. It's a matter of finding a dog that fits you. It's important to know what your own limitations are if you'd like to be a foster. If you're somebody that works 17 hours a day and is not home, you're not
living
a good foster.
In a condo downtown, probably not ideal. Right.
Not great. However, if you're somebody that works 17 hours a day and you would like to help walk a dog,
or donate
to a dog's foster care, all of those things are also optional.
And I will say, don't automatically discount yourself if you have a smaller place with a pit bull, because I will tell you, mine believes that the smallest pillow is where she belongs at all times. So I think most pitties also think of themselves as tiny, tiny cats.
She loves getting in your lap.
Thank you,
Paul, Diane, for joining us.
Yeah. Where can we send people?
Yeah.
You can go to bullyranch.org or austinfacialhairclub.com. You also can find us on Facebook on either of those pages, Austin Facial Hair Club or Bully Ranch.
So just look for them, and let's hang out this Saturday at the Little Darlin' for the Austin Doggy Facial Hair Contest.
Everybody come down there and say hi to CJ and I, and you know what? I'm going to let you buy me a drink.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Nice.
Here's more from Matt and CJ. 101X.
It's time for that nerd report.
You are a huge nerd.
Indeed I am. Matt, not so much, which is why I'm going to bring stuff in every day about nerdy things that I find fascinating. Matt, did you know New Zealand had a wizard?
No.
And I'm not talking Grand Wizard kind of KKK thing.
Okay.
No, there is Christ Church of New Zealand has an official wizard that has been on the payroll for 2 decades.
Wait, what?
A wizard in the city of Christchurch has been on the payroll for 2 decades, making $16,000 a year. That's what they're paying this guy, just to be a wizard.
And what does he do?
He does wizardy things.
Now,
that's
come
literally
on.
What the article, this is an NPR article that says his job title is essentially doing wizardly things. But cancel culture, it got him.
No.
It got him, though. The wizard got fired.
Wait. Okay, I'm in. Generally, I'm not into nerd stuff. This I'm fully into. You've got me. You've got my attention. What's happening?
Well, the wizard that, like I said, has been part of the Christchurch, essentially, city council, almost mascot for 2 decades.
Right. They've hired him, and he goes to, like, probably, like, city fairs and stuff like that.
Does blessings and yeah. Wizard. He casts spells.
I get it.
All sorts of fun stuff like that. But he's been let go because of some things he said on television.
And what exactly did he say?
A couple of months ago. That's what I'm trying to find. Basically what, oh, here it is. This is what he said on New Zealand Today, which is their big national, like,
sure.
You know, like the Today Show, like something like that, that you watch sure. every morning.
But
while
New
you're
Zealand
drinking
has like 7 people.
Coffee.
So.
When talking about women, he said, I love women. I forgive them all the time. I've never struck one yet. See, you never strike a woman. Wait, I need to do this in a wizardly voice. Never strike thy wench because they bruiseth too easily. And the first thing they'll do is tell thy neighbors.
Okay, I don't think he said it that way.
No, but he did basically say it's not good to hit a woman because they bruise. And then they'll go tell the neighbors and friends and then you'll be in big trouble.
He was trying to make jokes. Probably.
Maybe. I couldn't find the video of this because I think that would have been excellent. Like, maybe I'll look for that
how
and maybe
old's
we can come back to it. He looks old.
It's, no, that's him. That's yeah, a picture of the
yeah,
actual guy.
60s.
So the problem is that sometimes as we age, our joke teller, it gets a little rough around the edges.
And we
forget sometimes, like, just like, hey, that's a joke that maybe. The other thing, too, is that people excuse old people for some reason, you know, like an old guy, and you go, ha, 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 ha.
Then
you kind of laugh, and then it trains old people into thinking, oh, that joke worked.
That worked. I'm going to do that.
That's why we have to be better about when somebody tells a joke that's not good, you have to stare at them with silent crickets in your eyes so that they go, oh, that joke didn't work, because it's deep down. It's the younger generation's fault. We have trained old people that their bad jokes are actually good.
Turns out, not so much. I just still can't get over of all the things taxpayers waste money on. $16,000 a year on a wizard?
Come on, man. It just sounds like fun. You're mad and you're envious because you wish you
yes!
had that job.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
CJ, I know you don't vape, but I'm wondering if I could talk you into investing in cryptocurrency anyway.
Okay, let me put on my fedora and let's do it.
Isn't it time we get past some of those stereotypes about crypto folk?
I mean, it's everywhere, right? It's going to be the future of currency.
Is it?
A lot of drug dealers I know are exclusively only taking Dogecoin. So,
are they?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm, you know, I, like a lot of people out there, I still am confused. I have finally figured out what is meant when people say the blockchain. But I haven't really invested any money into the crypto world. And I kind of want to talk you into doing something with me.
Ooh.
What if every Thursday we came in here and you and I put small amounts of money, $5, $10 maybe a week.
Let's go to five.
$5
a week.
But each week, I'm going to make you come in here and you have to put it in a different coin each time.
Okay. Are we gamifying this? Is this a contest
absolutely
between
has to
you
be
and
gamified.
I?
We talked about it before
love
a week
it.
Ago, and I think that we need to stick with the idea of gamifying it. And I think that at the end of, we need to figure it out.
End
but
of this year.
I think
end
every,
of our show's contract.
I think every month we check in.
See where
there
we're
should
at.
Be some kind of something. And at the end of the year, I think whoever has gained more money than the other gets the other person's money.
Oh, man, I was going to say buy the other one dinner.
No.
No, you're going to take all my money?
All of it.
All of it, okay.
All of it, MF-er.
I love the idea. I think it'll be fun. It'll keep us up on what all the kids are doing, investing in the cryptos and whatnot.
You know, there's some really great crypto coin names out there, too.
Oh, and they're so weird and goofy.
Some of them are we can't say on the radio.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, I have like a Robinhood account, and I've got some Dogecoin. But advice, very much welcome. Crypto people are known for being very quiet and not wanting to help or talk about crypto.
But being sarcastic right now.
But if you feel like sharing with us at Just Matt and CJ on social media, because, yeah, do I have to get like a new app? Where do I find out about cryptos?
I think we should find a guide for us to get us at least started. I am going to go to a meeting this coming week. And talk to some people. And I'm going to try to find us. Yes. Yes. No, I'm going to go to an incel group, and I figure they'll have the answers.
They'll be there, too.
I'm going to try to find us like a little bit of a guide. The guy that has the very first donkey when you're going down into the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
I'm going to find that guy, and he's going to, or lady, or
person.
Non-binary. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find someone who can help us just kind of know where to start. And I think by putting that on air, we can help a lot of other people out there who probably have questions and have interests. Yeah. Because, you know, why should all of the money and fun just be for the people that already have all the money and all the fun?
Yeah, it's not fair. We want ours, too.
Right. So I thought, anyway, we could start doing that. We could probably start easy and, you know, put $5 into something like Bitcoin. It's a really well-known
one.
Had we done that...
In 2011, when we had a guy on the radio telling us to do that, Had we done it then?
Heck, even if you had done it 1 year ago today, you would end up having like $20 or $25 from that $5 you put in
Oh, dude, I was looking at my Dogecoin, and
You already own a coin?
Yes, I own some.
Not fair. You already have a huge leg up on me.
Not necessarily. This isn't going to count. We're not going to count my Doge, but from when I put money in that at the first of the year, I am up 291%.
Wow.
Of my investment.
Wow.
What sucks about that is that first pop when I made a lot of money, I took all that crap out. So I don't have a ton in there. Not as much as I could have had so much more damn money. But, you know,
Everybody says that. Everybody says that.
Well, yeah, let's do it. Let's get crypto. Let me do a currency talk.
Can you do me a favor? Don't ever do that again. That, you know what? I was really starting to like you.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
I figured out my Halloween costume.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that I've kind of let Halloween beat me up this year. October is my favorite month. I screwed up the decorations out front. They were knocked down by a storm twice.
Awesome.
I was feuding with friends over who was going to host the Halloween party this year. Lost that fight. And then I just gave up and decided, you know what? I'm not going to wear a costume to the stupid party that I don't want to be at anyway.
I've been supporting you.
You have?
Because I haven't brought in all the articles of awesome Halloween decoration
dude,
houses.
I know. So many in my neighborhood, they made it to Target before I did.
Yeah.
But I pieced it together, okay? I got some good lights. I got some spooky vibes going on. I worked it out. And then I decided I'm not going to let Halloween continue to beat me up. I'm not going to be the only one showing up at the party.
Look at that positive.
Not in a costume. I'm going to get a costume. And so I went and kind of did some research on what the top costumes are this year. Can you guess any of them?
Squid Games.
It's
probably number one. I would think that Squid Games is going to be the number one costume we see
that
this
you
year.
See out and see everywhere. I agree.
Pretty good because you've got the tracksuit if you're a competitor. Mm-hmm. You have the masks. You have the full. Clean suits. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
I would recommend to you, if you are a non-Asian person, please don't Asianify your eyes.
Don't do that anymore.
It's going to come back and haunt you. I promise you.
Absolutely.
Each and every time. Second guess would be out of guesses.
Think another great popular television show.
Oh, Ted Lasso.
It's so simple because you just need the coaching shorts, a mustache, a hat. Ted Lasso is one of the top trending ones also. There's Kim Kardashian at the Met Gala. I don't know if you saw that, but she wore okay. That's one of the trending ones. Cruella from the recent movie that came out. We've also got, I kind of like this. I could see this, if you pull this one off right and you do it at a party, it could be awesome. Bernie Sanders with the gloves.
Yeah.
So you just sit in the chair the whole time, just crossed, uninterested like that.
To me, I think one of the best Halloween costumes you can possibly have is to go as me during Halloween. And here's how you do it. Go to wherever kids are trick-or-treating, run up to them, take all of their candy and eat it in front of them. Mm-hmm. That is the Matt Bearden costume.
And all you need is a trucker hat, a button-down shirt.
You don't have to dress like me at all. Just as long as you're eating some other kid's candy while they cry,
you are me.
Because that is pretty much how what I do with every Halloween. My kids actually are not huge candy heads. They hate chocolate.
Really?
Yeah. They like, you know, like fruity whatever. I don't know, like lollipops.
Gummy bears.
Okay. Sour kids, all whatever. They're not big chocolate files, and so it's been great for me. Neither is my wife, and she passed on that gene. So, that you know, I will wait 24 hours, and after that, I start digging.
You get the candy
bags.
Hell
oh
yeah,
I'm nuts!
Oh,
I'm
love
nuts.
It. Part of what we're doing with this, you're gonna eye roll at this so damn hard, but my two friends, love them, Dana and Drew. They just moved into a new neighborhood. It's a lot of young adults down there. Just bought their first house, and ready for your eye roll. They want to adult trick or treat. Some of the people in the neighborhood, we're going to do adult trick-or-treating.
Okay.
There's not a lot of kids there.
I know.
But I am dressed up.
Why grow up and be a serious person? Go ahead.
Adult Fair. Good. But I discovered my costume. It's also one of the ones that are the top trending ones right now.
Yeah, let's get to it.
I'm going to go as Phoebe Bridgers. I just put on a skeleton suit, get a blonde wig, and have a broken guitar.
Why wouldn't you have a sign around you that says LOL FUACL?
That too. Perfect.
I'm glad I could do my job.
Add to it.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
It's time for people behaving badly.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I had this.
America, this is you.
I don't know who's behaving badly in this story. I think maybe everyone is to blame.
Oh, these are the best.
Yeah.
Okay,
so this happens in Bastrop, Texas. It's just outside of our town.
There we go.
One of the most shared stories on the Statesman today. There is a little place that is a demolition contracting business in Bastrop called WFO Dozing. Propped up one of its bulldozers along Lover's Lane with its claw raised and a hay-filled body hanging from its edge. The body has a black rag over its head and black gloves, leading many passersby to interpret the effigy as a lynching.
Oh, ooh, ooh, yeah, okay,
the
awkward.
The claw initially had the word anything, I think meaning like we'll bulldoze anything, and had the business's number, and then some people started complaining, so then they changed the sign from anything to sorry, not sorry, don't be a Karen.
Which is that's funny, but I mean, you know, Texas doesn't have the most sparkling history when it comes to things like that.
Sure.
So I can see why people are upset.
They interviewed the guy. Sievert is his last name. He says, it's all my clothes and my work gloves and everything I wear around here. There's no color of skin or anything to be shown, so I don't see how they can determine the color of the person. If all they're seeing is my work gloves and helmet bag, they can't see the hair. They can't even see the skin color. Another woman who lives there says, why would someone think it's appropriate to display suicide as Halloween decor? And I would say that I think she's probably never been to a haunted house. I just went to one, and it's filled with images of suicide.
The bathtub girl,
part of Halloween is the macabre and the gore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm like, this seems like a perfect storm of someone not completely thinking ahead, meeting up with the complainerati and the offendagencia for a perfect storm. Somebody says, one person says, it's blatant racism and should not be allowed or tolerated in our community. I'm not disagreeing with them, but I would say I'm not sure they know the definition of the word blatant, because I don't see how it can be blatant. Now, one of the things they're complaining about is it's down the street from a school. the DAEP school. It's an alternative campus. And this Sievert guy who runs the business says it's right by the baseball field for that campus. And he said, it's not baseball season, so there aren't any students. And the school over there is a gateway school. It's where the kids that have tried to burn down the high school, who've stolen, robbed, done all kinds of S are at. They're all in trouble. he says, they're all in trouble. They've been kicked out of school. So they're at that gateway school where they're wearing white and treated like prisoners. So I assure you, they ain't worried about my Halloween stuff.
I love and hate this dude. I mean, just...
I kind of am like, just look, there is an issue here in that you cannot dictate what somebody has on their property.
Yeah.
And if you're like, hey, I interpret it to be one thing, and the person says, but that's not what it is, you're at a stalemate at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
And just this dude's clearly, I mean, my only issue is he's clearly doubling down on it.
And you're saying he shouldn't double down.
I wouldn't. Well, yeah, I would. But in this case, I just feel like if you're a business owner and it's your business and people are bitching about something that you might not agree with or think is done, then, you know, at this point, I would cave in. I mean, it's like I said.
So you're a puss.
No, it's not being a puss.
I know.
Just,
I'm trying to rib you, dude. I'm trying to rib you.
This is a big part of the history in the South that people are still feel very close
sure,
to.
Sure, I should show you a picture, though.
With. Okay,
I should
show you. Okay.
There is no noose.
Okay.
There's no what you would generally see as some kind of an effigy of a hanging.
Okay.
The claw kind of goes around the neck of this thing. And, look, I 100%, this is one of those weird things where I'm glad I'm not a judge, because I can kind of see both sides.
Yeah.
And I would just also say, like, well, look, you don't actually have the authority to tell somebody what they can and cannot do on their own property. Is it a bold move to make as a business? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it Halloween? It is. This isn't the same as, like, when there was an election coming up and somebody on the west side of town hung what was clearly a figure that... was our president.
Yes. Yeah.
And had a chair there. And it just, I mean, that was a very, it was hard not to see it as the hanging of an African American man. This one I looked at, I'm like, you do have to allow your brain to go there to be offended. I hope that they'll work it out, because I don't want the community to be all sideways.
No.
Right? We should all be getting along.
Here's the deal. You mentioned as a judge you would hate to do this. I think you and I should be the judges on stuff, and I've got a nickel here that will just flip. Heads, the owner can keep the effigy up. Tails, he takes it down. Does that sound fair enough?
Okay, sure.
Matt and CJ judge, here we go.
Tails.
It is tails.
Is it really?
It is tails.
What did that mean? I don't remember what
I said. Dude. Yeah,
we are not good judges.
Never mind. We are not good judges.
Not at all. 101X, Matt and CJ. CJ, true or false? Kellogg's Pop-Tarts can go pound Donkey Wongs.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, okay, good. I thought we might have an argument, but it doesn't sound like we do have an argument on our hands.
Yeah, exactly, because where it's at is with Toaster Strudels.
Yes. Well, everybody knows that Toaster Strudel is the more bougie of the quickly prepared toaster-derived kid breakfast.
Yeah.
There is a lawsuit that's just entered into the courts. They're asking the judge to make it a class action lawsuit against Kellogg's. There is a woman in Illinois who claims that there simply is not enough strawberry in frosted strawberry Pop-Tarts for them to call them Kellogg's Frosted Strawberry Pop-Tarts. They should be given some other kind of name.
Do I need to get the nickel out again? Do we need to decide something?
She says the filling goes on to state, it gives the consumers the impression that the fruit filling contains a greater relative and absolute amount of strawberries than it does. She says that strawberries is, it's almost like a characterizing ingredient because it's in the name, but it actually, you have to get all the way down to the contains 2% or less section of the ingredients before you even see the word strawberry. And it mingles with other words like wheat starch, salt, dried apples, and in fact suggests after doing a test in a lab, it may actually contain more apples and pears than it contains strawberries.
Actual strawberries.
It has a bunch of artificial coloring that gives it a red color so that when you look at it, you think you're eating strawberries, but it turns out... Here is my point to this woman who's bringing the class action suit. I don't think anybody handing a Pop-Tart to a child is concerned about the fruit in it.
I don't think they care.
I think that they are a busy parent.
Got S to do, got to get to work, already 5 minutes late.
The fact that they're feeding their child breakfast at all already puts them in a different class than my mother was in, okay? Mm-hmm. I love my mother, wonderful human being, but either I grabbed my own breakfast or there weren't no breakfast to
you
be had.
Eating.
To this day, I still don't eat breakfast because I was trained that breakfast was a fool's was a fool's meal and
them
it wasn't going to happen.
People meals.
Yeah, was just not going to happen. Now, I will say there was a brief period of time when the toaster strudel was in my household and it was pretty wonderful. You would heat up that icing. Oh.
You know what sucked about me remembering
strudel.
This?
God, it tasted almost like something real.
It was so good. And the filling was thick, but we had a bad toaster. So the center was always frozen. eat that anyways.
No, it's because most people don't follow the directions.
What did the directions say?
You have to go through two cycles.
Toast, pop, toast.
Here's what I do. My daughter loves toaster strudel. Mm-hmm. And here's what I currently do. Toast, pop, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Walk
Let
away.
Let it fall.
Let it walk away, little pig. Go brush your teeth.
Mm.
Go put on your socks. Go yell at your kid. Did you do your homework last night? Damn it! Another day where you didn't do homework? Then you come back. Second small cycle. Then you take it.
There you go. It's like a brisket. You got to let it rest.
That's the thing. I have become a toaster strudel master. What I will tell you is
you just
that
like that white cream. Go ahead. I interrupted you. It's good sauce. Okay.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
I actually got a good prize today. I swindled. I hustled. I got us something. If you want to go to a 101X session next week, give me a call, 512-835-1015. We'll play a little game. I can put multiple people on the guest list. You just got to be 21 because it's presented by St. Arnold, and we'll have some St. Arnold beverages there for you.
Quick question, point of inquiry. Oh, first of all, people want to play right now. What number do they call?
512-835-1015.
835-1015. Nice.
Yeah.
Now, a quick question for you, because I'm new to 101X.
Yes.
Can you explain to me what is an X session?
An X session is we clear out the lobby upstairs. We have a band sit down. This one's going to be Culture Wars. They come up. They play a couple songs. We do an interview.
We pass out some bevvies.
We pass out some bevvies. Sometimes we have like pluckers or some snacks as well. So it's
cool.
A pretty cool prize, and you get to bring a friend.
That sounds cool.
We got some humans calling in now.
Okay.
Hey, caller, who's this?
Allison Bird.
Hi, Allison. Do you want to go attend this X session?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. All you have to do is answer this trivia question.
Oh, we're doing a round of win something.
Yeah, you gotta answer the trivia question. All right. What are our names?
Matt and CJ.
Oh, whoa. You are a winner! Cool, putting you on hold. Caller, hey, who's this?
This is Brad.
You want to go to the sex session?
Sure.
Okay, answer this trivia question. What are our names? What the people talking to you on the radio? What are our names?
Oh my God, CJ.
Okay,
that's one.
Okay,
that's half.
You got one. You got half of it.
You're gonna get half of your body into the X session.
Okay. Now, can you guess the other one?
I cannot remember the other one. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I feel so good about this.
Yeah, you feel good because is this the first time that they've gotten your name and not mine?
Yeah, yeah, it is. You're going to go, man. You're a winner. Congratulations. Caller, who's this?
This is Clarissa.
Hey, how are you doing, Clarissa?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Very good, as a matter of fact. Do you want to go hang out at this X session and see some cool live music in a very exclusive, intimate format?
Yeah.
Okay, but first you have to answer this trivia question. What are our names?
Matt and CJ.
Oh, I think she cheated.
She heard the first part. That's fine.
Yeah, she called, and that's okay. We've got three for three winners. I'm going to put you on hold. If you're on hold right now, you're a winner. I feel a little better today.
And don't you see, I told you before, Isn't it fun when you give them something that's really simple? If it's better than what's in the box.
It is. It's a good contest.
You know why it's better?
Because it was your idea.
No, it's less work on your... You don't have to worry.
It's so much less work.
On your heart.
To explain the reason we did that for a week or two straight, every time we go, hey, who's rocking you? They're like, you guys are. You too. Just Matt and CJ 101X.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ 101X.
Cedar Park man is in a teensy bit of trouble after being found guilty of making Molotov cocktails during the 2020 protests. And he tried to pull a Superman. It did not work.
Tried to pull a Superman.
I'll do my best to explain that to you and read the news story. During the 2020 protests, a Cedar Park man named Cyril, 27, was seen on video making the device in the parking lot next to the Austin Municipal Court. The U.S. Department of Justice says he was then interrupted by Austin police officers.
They saw him making
was in the middle of the parking lot putting together Molotov cocktails. They had him on video. Some police officers. Had two beers.
Officer.
The officers saw him and then came up to him, and he took off running. They chased after him. He ran into a...
He started flying?
That's not the Superman. Not yet.
That would be awesome if he started flying.
He ran from them. They ran after him. They kept him in their line of sight and said he went into a porta potty. As they approached the porta potty, the man came out in different clothes.
Okay. All right.
And proceeded to calmly walk away before being apprehended. He thought he could pull a Superman.
It's not me.
Hey! It did not work. However, in his backpack, they found one, the change of clothes that he had on as they were chasing him, a bunch of lighter fluid, a bunch of beer bottles, rags, and stuff to make Molotov cocktails. And he faces up to
probably a pretty good sentence, huh?
Yeah. 10 years, yeah. I just love that he walks out of the porta potty like nothing happened. I mean, go bold, you know, if you're going to do that kind of stuff. But
no, you shouldn't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, actually, don't do that kind of stuff. That could be very
I'm a huge proponent
dangerous.
Of protests.
Yes.
Get your protest on, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You cross a line when you decide to start throwing fireballs.
Yes, or start aggravating the police, because then what do? They come at you a little harder.
I don't think the police should be firebombing or pepper spraying.
I agree. I know.
I mean, I think that a lot can be done about, you know, trying to raise awareness or what have you. But the, come on, firebombs?
Yeah. There's always a bunch of young, a-holes that...
Okay, take us away from the position of being downtown around a bunch of people and at a protest.
Okay.
It's just... Me talking to you right now has nothing to do with anything else.
Yes.
Have you ever made a Molotov cocktail?
Dude, you know it.
So
you
much fun, dude. So
know
much
it.
Fun,
oh, they are
dude.
The best.
So good.
And you,
so crazy.
I learned my lesson pretty young not to use gasoline.
Yeah, no.
No. You do want to use like just good old charcoal lighter fluid.
Rubbing
that,
alcohol.
That stuff. Rubbing alcohol, too. I've also, not only have I made, I've set my yard on fire several times as a kid.
Hell yeah.
I've been in a lot of
trouble
before.
Were you a tiny little pyro kid? Because I had a real pyro issue when I was a kid.
I wasn't tiny. I was huge. I had a crappy clubhouse I built, and it was next to two sheds. So I took a bunch of plywood, and I made, quote unquote, the Alamo. And in one of the sheds, just took a bunch of my dad's chemicals, poured them in jars, lit them on fire. So I had torches for my Alamo. The problem is when I flipped the jar over to put it out, it didn't go out.
Yeah.
Didn't go out. But one of my favorite things, which got me in a lot of trouble, was taking gasoline and styrofoam, and it kind of melts together.
Yeah.
And then you would put it on tennis balls and then light it and launch it, and they would just stick on the side of things.
Baby napalm, baby.
Baby napalm, yeah.
Man, we could do a whole podcast on this.
On pyro.
I'm knocking on wood, and I'm just,
please.
I can't even believe the release I feel sometimes when I think, relief I feel when I think about how I didn't burn down like a neighborhood or something, just because I would go into fields where I would think I was protected and nobody could find me, because I loved fire as a kid. I thought it was the best.
Oh, I still am a huge pyro. If you'll recall my doggie's funeral.
I remember. I set the dog on fire.
I made flaming arrows, and to make those, I used a lot of broken up fireworks, stuff from sparklers, different kinds of petroleums. I made these like arrows.
Yeah, I'm over my pyro. You... We got to work on you, man.
I mean, I lived in a neighborhood right around the radio station and regularly was the guy firing flaming arrows into the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, we got to. We got it. Come on, let's get you to therapy.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Spinnertainment. You say it better, Matt. What?
That's Spinnertainment.
There we go.
Better somehow?
Yeah, it sounds good. We got
I wasn't
our producer.
Prepared. It didn't sound good.
Got our producer Spinny in here, and this week you've been tasked with making us sound effects for some of our regular segments, specifically the Today is the Greatest one.
Yes.
Yesterday you came in with a hilarious but mostly unusable version.
Oh, yeah?
And, dude, yeah, it makes fun of me. Of course.
It wasn't making fun of you. It was making fun of me, I thought.
Okay.
I was going deep into my head.
Well, you have to understand that CJ is a little insecure.
I was
so insecure. No, I'm not. F you, dude.
See? Wow, the high from the caller knowing your name but not my name has worn off in a hurry, hasn't it?
It doesn't take long.
No, it did not take long.
What'd you make for us today?
I got just a straight general version 3 of the sounder, and I also made a spooky one.
Oh!
For Halloween coming up.
Halloween time, all right. Yeah. So here's how this works for those of you that don't work in radio. Before you do something, it's nice to splash something in. Had a sound effect with lasers, with cool things, you know.
101X, Matt and CJ.
It's called imaging, and it spices things up. And so you made us some imaging to spice up some of our segments.
Yeah, this is for our segment that happens in the three, actually right at the very beginning of our show, where we do Today is the Greatest, and we tell you what happened in history or why today is the greatest. So let's hear a little something.
Here is the spooky version.
How's that feel? I was gonna get some witch laughter, but I was already spending way too much time on that.
This feels like we just ate bad acid.
Yeah,
that's what this. This feels like
spooky, man.
My stomach is turning upside down, and I'm like, oh my god, is this gonna last 8 hours?
God,
I'll make an 8-hour version if you want.
We could, put it on YouTube. Okay, I liked it. Right. I mean, it's spooky. It's exactly what it says. And now we have version 3.
Yeah, here's a straightforward one.
This is going to be the one that's probably used, correct?
Great.
Yeah,
great. I mean, I don't know if the pause was too much. I don't know if you want to get right into it.
It's good.
But you still can.
The explosion, it works.
It's cannons for the actual history. That's how I snuck my history in there.
It's really good. I just want to let it play because you've been kind of hiding stuff at the end of it. he laughs. Okay.
Oh, man. I'm bummed out.
Why are you bummed?
Because,
you thought we wouldn't listen all the way?
You sneaky trickster.
Here's the thing. I like your sense of humor, and I like that you hide things in there.
Yeah.
But we're learning to become more professional, and we're learning to not embarrass ourselves by listening. Wait.
Okay,
I'm looking at the timer.
Yeah.
So far, there's nothing... Nothing. No.
Nothing
I don't
sneaky.
Think he didn't hide anything in there.
Told you straightforward this time, boys.
Okay. Still waiting.
Well, that just kind of sucked.
What if there was just... what if he just like had a string of F-bombs right at the end? Just, F you, bad CJ! I hope you get
seconds
fired!
12
yeah,
seconds.
That's where he can't dump it all out. This has been Spinnertainment, and come back and hang with us every single day, Spencer, at this allotted time. Feel free to make yourself some sound effects.
Thank you.
Don't do that.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Two things. I got a pitch for you, and I would want to get a Talktober update.
Okay.
You're still alive.
Still alive.
Have you still committed to doing 3 tacos a day, or essentially a taco with every meal per day? You can be honest with me.
I have failed on a couple of meals.
Okay. Hey, your health's important. And I think, like you said earlier, it's kind of hard to do when you are also cooking and eating with a family to make yourself something different every night.
It's been tough. Also, it just occasionally I was like, oh, my God, I haven't even eaten yet today. I've got to try to figure out how to somehow make a taco. But it'd be easier just to make a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah.
And so I will say that I have, in my very first go-round, failed at doing taco every single meal. Now, I'm well past 31 tacos total for the month, and I have still had at least one taco every single day.
Good.
So I'll be on schedule for that, and I'll probably end up around 150 to 200 tacos for the month, but I will not get to my full goal.
And you also picked a month that has the maximum amount of days, 31. So you are going to get to a lot of tacos regardless. Anyhow, I got something I want to pitch you. Are you familiar with Hilbert's?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, next week, next Tuesday, they're going to bring us in some crispy beef tacos.
Awesome.
Love Hilbert's. Good tacos.
Didn't even know Hilbert did a taco.
Yeah, they do. They do a crispy taco. It's really good.
You know, I used to live right behind a Hilbert's.
The one over on Cameron or the one that used to be on Burnett?
The one that used to be on Lamar. It doesn't even exist anymore.
Okay. Anyhow, that got me to thinking about, like, tacos are your thing, and this is your month, but you know what Hilbert's does really damn good?
A burger.
A burger.
Also shakes, also fries, yeah. Also...
they're Dallas wings.
Also getting me pretty plumped up the year I lived, literally...
right behind him.
And when I say behind it, I would walk out my back door, and there was a gate in the fence, and then I was just in the Hilbert's, and I would just eat there, hell so it was really tough.
Oh, Hilbert's is so good. But that got me thinking about my own thing that I want to do, and I want you to join me. What about Bergvember?
I may need a break after...
A burger a day, every day through the month of November, even Thanksgiving. Bergvember.
Here's the problem I have right now, okay? This gorging of food I have done for this month, I may need... We're already going to be in the two more gorging months. November is a gorge month, and December is a gorge month.
Family meals, stuff like that, yeah. Okay, maybe I'll push Bergvember to Burguary. And
here's the thing.
Do it at the...
If you wanted to start going, if you wanted to do just like, hey, the five lunches each week of the weekdays, I'd go do lunches with you every day for a different burger.
Okay.
Except for the week of, what's that thing that happens in November? Thanksgiving.
Yes, except for that one. Man, you know
my
what?
My brain is breaking here at the end of the show.
As I'm saying this, I'm just picturing me... in a hospital bed with diabetes and heart disease. Because tacos can be healthier than burgers.
That is a dumb statement.
No, it's not. You can make lean meat tacos. You don't have to put stuff on it, but just
you can make
straight,
lean meat burgers. Dude, you don't have to put stuff on it.
F that. You got to have double
here's
meat,
the thing.
Melty cheese, a big-ass bun, and throw some bacon on there
here's
for me.
Here's the problem. A regular hamburger, you look at it, you eat that, and you go, I've eaten a meal. Tacos, it's really easy to suddenly eat like eight of them and like, what? They're just tacos. And if you actually put all the ingredients next to it, you realize, oh, that's three hamburgers worth of meat I just
ate. I ate a lot.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's dangerous. I will say this. For tonight's taco, would you like to hear what it is?
Burger taco?
No.
Mm, what are you doing?
I'm making a Frito pie taco tonight.
Oh, Matt! Damn it! I might have to creep over to your house tonight because that is... That is amazing. A Frito pie taco. Can't wait to see pictures of it on at Talktober on Instagram. And of course, at Just Matt and CJ on all the other social media. Let us know you're out there. Let us know you love us. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Crack 'em. Be here for the crack 'em.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.